The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Dr. Tony Evans leads the charge toward becoming a kingdom man.
Why should we work this hard when the world is going down? Well, same reason you jog, even though you know you're going to die. You don't say this because I'm going to die, I'm not going to work out. I mean, there's a reality is, even though the world is getting worse and worse, we should be getting better and better. And the world should see an option because of the uniqueness of the church.
Absolutely.
Every man's destiny, every woman's dream. Next.
Thank all of you so very much. What a joy to share this time with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. I've got on the Christian vote pen, which, you know, is just indicating that Christians should assume responsibility. How about let's assume some responsibility for some of the issues we face that might need some adjustment instead of blaming everybody that's up there that somebody sent or didn't have anything to do with sending or praying about it or learning or trying. Hey, got a friend here, someone that I respect as much as anybody I know. You know that, Betty. You hear how much I talk about him. I know you love him, but you hear me talk about him all the time. Dr. Tony Evans is here, and my goodness, he has got a question mark and a book titled, How Should Christians Vote? Now, who in the world thinks would have the audacity to even think that they could write a book like this? Well, it would have to be a very bold person. But let me just tell you something. Let me just go ahead and settle the score. I just simply think he's right. I think this is one of the most important, profound, and simple reads. As a matter of fact, you know, if you get to this, it's kind of like Tony says, it's kind of like a textbook. You know, you're going to go through this. It's kind of like miraculously he took so much of the substance there and reduced it down to put like boots on the ground with understanding how should a Christian vote. And then, my goodness, Dr. Tony Evans, Kingdom Man, a tremendous book. Welcome our close friend, Dr. Tony Evans, to Life Today. Good to see you, buddy. You hang with me a good bit, and you know that I'm not just saying this because we got an audience listening. I talk to you like this when we're together, don't
we? We talk like this all the time. Yeah.
And you know what? When I tell you how much I admire you and appreciate you, and when I tell you in private what I will say to everybody in the world, I wish the whole world would listen to you. I wish the whole world would listen to you. I wish the whole world would hear what you're saying. I wish the whole world would hear the heart of God and the wisdom of God that I hear you sharing so freely and so effectively and so biblically, so uncompromisingly, and with such love and compassion. I just wish they'd all hear it. And to see the impact of that message on the people around you and your family that I love so much, it just blesses me. Now, I want to thank you for these books.
Thank you very much.
All right, I got to ask you a question.
All right.
The Kingdom Man. I had an impact a couple of years ago in my life, I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago, where I realized that the kingdom that he prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It hit me full force that the church was not having the impact on this earth that he was praying for in the model prayer even that he taught us to pray in honor and respect and obedience to that model prayer, that this wasn't a prayer, thy kingdom come and thy will be on earth, like because we've escaped earth and we've been removed from it. It was like he wanted something to happen on the earth as though there was a king making an impact. Mm-hmm. And it was for now. And I tried to reduce it down to living in his presence in the present. Mm-hmm. Was I close?
You real close. You keep listening to me, you'll be right there. No,
and I agree. I do agree. You know,
I like to say, America has embassies all around the world. An American embassy is a little bit of America a long way from home. It's where the laws and value systems of America are resident on foreign soil. Well, the people of God are supposed to be heaven's embassy, a little bit of heaven a long way from home, where the values of heaven reside in history. So if history wants to know what heaven thinks, how heaven feels, what heaven would do, they don't have to go to the homeland. They can go to the embassy that's located on their soil. And that's what the people of God are to represent, another king, another kingdom.
They don't seem to be doing that effectively.
That's because we've gotten too acculturated to the country we're in rather than the country we're from. Mm. We've become so secular in our thinking, so worldly in our orientation, that we have confused the uniqueness of our embassy and of our position.
Wow. So this hit you when? I told you a few years ago, and I think, and you've known my ministry for quite a few years. I've been preaching a while, and you were in school, and I was preaching around, and we obviously crossed paths, and we kind of probably heard about what God was doing. So I was about kingdom work. But the reality of the importance of a kingdom understanding of how we are supposed to make a difference in the here and now, not just wait for the kingdom to come, but for the kingdom presence to come now on us so that we make an impact on the earth. It hit me real solid about 3 years ago. When did it hit you?
Well, it hit me as I was completing my seminary, master's degree at Dallas Seminary. I found myself on the horns of a dilemma. I was learning all of this theology that excited me to no end, but I was not seeing its effectiveness in the culture. In fact, there were some professors whose church I could not go in because of the color of my skin, who were teaching me great doctrine in class.
Wow.
At the very same time, there was this cultural conflict, because I did my doctoral dissertation on Black theology, and I was hearing this call for a social transformation, but with theology that was not consistent with the Bible. So I had great theology with little practice, and I had great practice with errant theology. So something was missing here. There was a dead monkey on the line somewhere. And when I began searching the scripture and then began to understand that the job of the church is not the church. The job of the church is to manifest and reflect the kingdom. Then I went into a kingdom mode. And when I went into a kingdom mode and saw that that was the comprehensive view of God over all of life, that there was nothing that existed outside of God's kingdom, and that the church was to model that, reflect that, teach that, and implement that, it shifted my whole view of the understanding of Scripture, and more importantly, its application. And that's why I can talk about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, or how to vote, and I can all draw from that same well, because it's all covered under a kingdom orientation to life.
This should excite us as Christians to know that we don't have to wait until Jesus comes back to have that kingdom living in our hearts. But I was kind of one of those people that in my young Christian life, I didn't know. I thought I was just supposed to just hang in there and missing so many of the things that God wanted to show me.
Well, you know, many were raised with the theology that says, you know, Jesus is going to come back and lift us up out of here. But I say, well, you know, why should we work this hard when the world is going down? Well, same reason you jog, even though you know you're going to die. You don't say, just because I'm going to die, I'm not going to work out. I mean, there's a reality is, even though the world is getting worse and worse, we should be getting better and better.
Right.
And the world should see an option because of the uniqueness of the church.
Absolutely. Oh, you make that real clear in Kingdom Man. I love the way you approach it. And now you've got a big theology degree, and you've been one of the great theological seminaries. And you are a great preacher. But I got to be honest with you. I don't think most, and Jesus was one, you know, pretty powerful teacher.
Yes.
I don't think most of the church gets it. I don't think they understand what it is we got to get in order to do what he left us here to do.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, talk about kingdom man, Exodus 34, God would call all the males out of Israel, and it uses three names for God, Elohim, Yahweh, and Adonai. In other words, the God who is the power, the God who is your covenant loyal friend, and the God who is your boss, who tells you what to do. He called all the men out and told the men how they were to function, then sent them back to Israel and to their families. In other words, I want to instruct the men so that they can take it back to their families so the nation will run smoothly. We're falling apart because men are missing in action and have abandoned their roles under the rule of God so that we can operate in the culture properly.
You minister a lot in the inner city. You minister a lot where people, where the man is missing. It has been devastating, indescribably devastating. God can correct the problem. And He can even begin in the homes of the fatherless right now if they'll get to know this Father that'll teach them to be a kingdom man.
Absolutely. If we can get, if the church would begin to lovingly hold men accountable for their divine design under God, then even boys without fathers can get surrogate dads. That's why we go into the schools, to have men mentor boys who don't have fathers so that they can get a view of what a father looks like from a kingdom man, a man who's operating under the rule of
God.
Now,
does it work?
It works. In fact, we can't even keep up with the schools inviting us in because of the impact we're having in the lives of young boys and young girls as we invade this territory. 72% of African-American children are born to single parents. So that's a devastating
How do you
statistic.
Overcome the obstacle that says you got no business being in a public school doing anything related to God?
Well, when you have to choose between putting metal detectives in the hallway and having the church come in, you choose the church. In other words, when things get bad enough, the church is not a bad idea. We just show people and we operate in a way that respects the distinction between church and state, while respecting the role of God in good works.
When you are foolish enough, however, to think that the government can take the place of God and that you make the government your source upon which you depend rather than looking to God or people who represent God for help, you actually are asking someone to come and take care of people in the ditch somebody dug or they dug and fell in and make them comfortable there so that they don't look up to see if there's a way out. And so we look to the wrong source. We never get out of the ditch. We get more comfortable in the ditch and despair. And pretty soon the whole nation, the whole community is in the ditch. And that's pretty much where we are right now.
Well, exactly. And that is because we've mystified government. We have turned government into God, something it's incapable of being. The way God constructed government goes all the way back to the garden. He gave Adam maximum freedom, limited regulation, and dire consequences. So the job of civil government is to protect freedom and personal responsibility. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 8, if you have government that tries to take the place of God, it will take, take, and take. And then he says, and you know it's gone too far when it charges you in taxes as much as I expect from you in tithes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's gone way past that.
Way past that.
Yeah.
So it's way, way out of whack.
It's really out of whack.
Because it's doing things it was never assigned to do.
All right. Now, you talk about Christians voting a certain way. And I have read this, and you see how I've underlined it and starred it all up and scribbled all over it. And I mean, I could just start preaching this to you, and you'd be sitting over there saying, where'd you get that good stuff? Well, I got it right here, and it won't take you long to read it. Now, where's the website? People can go to the bookstores, they can go online and get it, they can get both books, but if they wanted to go to Tony Evans and see what you've got or get...
TonyEvans.org, TonyEvans.org.
That's and they can find out all the different things you're doing to try to help equip churches, equip pastors, equip men to go in and make a difference, to be kingdom people. Now, about this, because we got a very important vote. Do you agree that every election is important?
Yes.
Do you believe the one in 2012 is real important?
One of the most important in our history.
All right. Now, it's not a matter of Democrat or Republican. It's not a matter of left or right. What do you say? What do you tell people who are looking left or right? What do you tell us we need to do?
I say what you do is you determine which candidate, party, and platform will most allow us to advance the values of the kingdom of God. You make a kingdom decision in the voting booth. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to vote the same, but what it does mean is when they come out of the voting booth, they're going to be pushing the same kingdom. And as long as we're going to push the same kingdom, either party that wins will have to listen. The problem is we've let the kingdoms of this world divide the church, so they know they don't have to listen.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. So they can be active in either party, but they ought to be trying to move parties toward kingdom principles.
Absolutely. You know, Joshua 5, he was doing reconnaissance around Jericho. He sees this captain with this large army, and he says, whose side are you on? Are you on Jericho's side or are you on our side? The captain said, I think you're confused. I'm neither on your side, nor am I on Jericho's side. I didn't come to take sides. I come to take over. Mm-hmm. God has come to take over. He's not a Democrat or Republican. He doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. What he wants to do is set his own agenda. So if God's people, regardless of which party they're part of, will promote that agenda, either party will have to listen. So be Democrat light, L-I-T-E, or Republican light, L-I-T-E, so you can be the L-I-G-H-T in the Democratic Party or the L-I-G-H-T in the Republican
Party. I like that. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking privately before we walked out here, and you said the problem with a lot of people is they're looking left and right and where they need to be looking.
They need to be looking up. See, as long as you keep looking left and right, you're going to get a neck ache. You need to look up in one direction and bring God's point of view regardless of the situation.
And when we do that, when we counsel, let God counsel us on who we should vote for, to me, there's something that a responsibility that comes with that. You feel like your vote means more because you've voted wisely, and it will affect
Absolutely. And if you're thinking not just about the candidate and the party, but if you're thinking about the kingdom of God, yes, and evaluating them in that light, you have an eternal perspective in a temporal decision.
And this is not talking about a theocratic theocracy. It's not talking about church rule. It's talking about the impact of the church impacting rulers, affecting them in a positive way, moving us toward principles that are as solid as all of God's truth is. It's a reliable foundation.
Absolutely.
Upon which sane society is built.
If God blesses the nation whose God is the Lord, and if righteousness exalts a nation and evil is a reproach to any people, then how God will relate to our nation will be dependent upon how His people are relating to Him in the context of the nation. And God says in Ephesians 3:10, He decides what He's going to do in society based on what the church is or is not doing. So the church of Jesus Christ will determine where and how much God shows up in America.
And then when we make a choice of leaders, and we understand a direction that would be better as people who see light and who walk in light and supposed to be light, if the people who are chosen don't move toward the light, in the light, out of the ditch to get us back on solid ground, we need to, as rapidly and quickly as possible, replace them, right?
That's right.
With a person who understands the direction that is obvious to people who are in light. You can see it.
That's right. And our voices must be so loud that any candidate knows that they're going to have to grapple with these kingdom people because they're not going to let go of kingdom thinking just for a political party.
There you go. And kingdom people can have differences and disagreements and discussions about various issues without divorcing and splitting up to where they lose kingdom impact and kingdom purpose, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is critical that we understand there are certain non-negotiables. The family is a non-negotiable. Life is a non-negotiable. Our freedom of speech and religion, those are non-negotiables because the Bible gives them to us.
Marriage is a non-negotiable.
Marriage is a non-negotiable. It's definition. We cannot allow the family to be hoodwinked from what the Creator had in mind when He created it. He created it the way He wants to be. He didn't want men to mess it up.
So just because somebody calls a biblical issue a political issue, the kingdom people must not be excused or dismissed. They must refuse to forfeit what God has given us oversight and responsibility for. We got to keep standing.
And we've got to wake up from the sleep and slumber that we've occupied too long. Too much is at stake. Our voices need to be heard, and we must not compromise our biblical faith for political expediency.
If we stand together now, people of faith who believe God, believe the Bible, and we stand for what's right, can we correct this perilous course?
Actually, I think this is our best time to correct it because whether you look left or right, you find a mess.
That's right.
So therefore, since we can't run the politics to fix it, we better decide to fix it as the people of God.
And we can do it together. Would you say thanks to Dr. Tony Evans? Both books, absolutely essential. I'm telling you now, get this, and here as you get ready to cast a vote. Remember, there is no perfect candidate, only one. His name's Jesus. He's not running. But He wants to show people who trust Him how to make wise decisions, to be well-informed, to be actively involved. Don't hand it off to people walking in darkness who are going to take over and trample underfoot, Jesus said, everything that the salt, you, the believer, has not preserved. When you don't preserve and protect the precious, we're going to get trampled underfoot. It's been happening. You know, we are talking about something really special when we talk about feet. We're talking about, look at that. Don't you love a little shoe like that? You remember? Do you have any little ones right now, grandchildren, that still have pretty small feet?
Yes, I do. I have a grandson that has small
feet.
Isn't
that good? Yeah. And you know how people fix those little shoes and keep them, bronze them, and take care of them? Look, you know what we want to do? We want to put some shoes on some precious little feet all over the world. We call this Christmas shoes, and we have to start way ahead of time so we can deliver them around Christmas time. It opens the door for the missionaries to talk about the Christ of Christmas and to show that love. Watch this. This is going to inspire you, and you're going to want to have a part in making a big difference in someone's life. Watch.
It's hard to believe I'm sitting, literally sitting in a garbage dump in Central America. And I'm around absolute filth and contamination and disease. And little Maria is walking through this every day with these little bare feet.
They can get diseases. They've got what is known as hookworms that get in their feet when they just walk in dirt or sand. And then it gets in their little intestines, causes serious problems. We're going to give children all over the world shoes. When I say we, that's all of us together.
We want to be able to help these children. They're so worth it. You know, if it was our children, we would want someone to reach out to them. So please join with us and let's make that difference. Let's put some shoes on their feet and let's bless these precious little children.
Little Maria has never known that. I'm pleading with you this day that you would find it in your heart to remember God's heart for the poor. And I pray this Christmas that you would bring that joy to our heart. That's what I'd love to see. We're gonna get you some shoes, honey. You sweet thing.
Well, I tell you, I've been many times just in the same place that she was sitting where I had those same emotions. And I don't think any of us can bear to look at pain if we don't think we could alleviate it. Anytime we see pain, even if it's a disease or a battle, something springs up inside of us, a hope for a cure. Well, for these little children, Betty, there's a cure for those diseases. There's a solution for the discomfort. And these are quite amazing shoes. I don't know if any of you have ever worn the popular shoes, the Crocs, they call them. This is just about the exact same thing, and those last for such a long time. This is going to last a long time. It's even, this one's adjustable as children grow, where they can wear it for a long time. And Betty, this is something that all of our viewers can do. When you think about $3.60, and by the way, you buy one of those kind of shoes around here, you're going to pay a lot of money for it. I know they could put a whole lot of shoes out. But you got $36, and we got 10 children some shoes. And you multiply that out, and $72, and you've got 20 kids' shoes. And I think that our viewers want to do this.
I do too, James. And it's not just about the shoes themselves, but it's so much more because these children get all the cuts and the bruises. You saw where they walk, where they have to climb over and stuff, the trash that they walk through. There's no doubt that sometime or other, their foot's going to get cut, and then the infection's allowed to grow, and then it goes over their whole body. So it's so much more than just putting something on their feet. It's a protection. It's a health protection. So I hope you will join with us, and let's do this for the children.
And we have coupled with the Christmas shoes what we also call Christmas smiles. Well, you've got little children that have some kind of facial deformity and normally a cleft palate. And those surgeries average about $500. And we're asking you to give shoes and smiles for Christmas, which I want to ask you very directly. Could you give $500 to give a child a smile for Christmas? That gift lasts a lifetime for them and for their family. Could you give $1,000 and perhaps give two children smiles or give many children pairs of shoes? If you can make a gift, $144, $72, $36, whatever it is, you're going to help us provide shoes for Christmas and smiles for Christmas, whatever God puts on your heart. We want to send you the book that our son wrote. He is a brilliant, brilliant person. And he wrote about discovering the deeper joy than you ever imagined. God wants you to be happy, but he helps you understand what happy means from God's perspective and how you can experience. It's an incredible book. We're sending this to say thanks for any gift that you make. And we have other gifts that we want to send you that'll be a blessing to you. And many of you remember that if you're able to help us with a major gift of, say, those smiles we talked about with $1,000, we're sending the bronze, the lion, and the lamb. We want to bless you. And we want to thank you for making that gift. Dial the number, Take your bank card, use it like a check. Please do it. Would you go do that right now? Give the smiles, give the shoes. If you want to go online, it's lifetoday.org. Make the gift there. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail. Make it to life. Address it to life. Thank you for doing that.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the inspirational new book, God Wants You to Be Happy, by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison. With your gift of $100 to help provide 28 pairs of shoes, you may request this beautifully crafted shoe ornament to place on your tree each Christmas. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want to remind you of the beautiful little ornament, that little shoe. This is absolutely great. You know, Betty, you and I look around the house at the bronzes that remind us over the years of the gifts that we've been able to make. It's just an expression of joy. Randy's book on God Wants You Happy will be sent today. If you say we'll help you with the shoes, we'll also be glad to send you Dr. Tony Evans' book, How Should Christians Vote? This is something you'll really want to read and pray over and pass it on to others. We'll also, if we hear from you today, send you one of the Christian Vote pens like Betty and I have got on, reminding Christians of their responsibility to be good citizens, vote wisely. Would you say a big thanks to Dr. Tony Evans? Doc, I love you. Appreciate you big time. Thank all of you so much. Thank you for helping us put God's arms around a hurting world. That's what we're doing together. Thank you.
Freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores.
In that gray zone where you and I have the biggest capacity to get sideswiped.
Developing spiritual discernment tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.